Let's pray and get underway. This is going to be a little bit informal today. Is that all right? So God, I thank you and I need you because I really can't help people at all apart from the power of your Holy Spirit. Because I can give information, but information doesn't change anyone. Truly, we're all on information overload. Maybe the last thing we need is more information. What we need is transformation. And that's something that only you can do. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you. And we say, Father God, would you send the Spirit now for Jesus' sake? Would you lift up the name of Jesus in this hour? And would you draw your people back to yourself? Would you enable them in this hour to get fresh vision and even fresh fire to finish this year strong? We thank you, God, for what you're going to do. I thank you for the people that you've brought here. I thank you that your anointing is being released even now, that your anointing is being released over the airwaves, over the internet, over smartphones, and that your presence and your power is already beginning to permeate, that people already are sensing your nearness, sensing that God has brought them here, and your peace is flooding others. But I just see that there are people, you're already starting to shake, and you know that God wants to talk to you. Father, your daddy in heaven needs to have a little chit-chat with you. So he's brought you here to the Jersey Girl, and I have a feeling this is going to be a little bit of a Jersey Girl style, straight up, getting real, getting honest, and that's why your daddy God has brought you here. He needs to talk to you about some things that he told you, remember? Remember the things that Father spoke to you and the vision that he gave you as the calendar was turning into this year, and the things that he put on your heart and the vision that he gave you? Are you remembering that? Are you remembering? Was it New Year's Eve? Was it New Year's Day? Did you have time off between Christmas and New Year's? But you heard your marching orders. And maybe you marched out and started and got a good start, and then you running out of steam. I get it. But it's time now to refuel, refocus, and recommit. Refuel, refocus, and recommit. And that's why he's brought you here today. Would you just take him, just dare to believe that this is a divine invitation? That's all I'm going to say. We love you, God, and we need you. Amen. Well, lo and behold, in December, God told me that Don, you just got to put it out there, and you got to put this material, Make 2016 Your Best Year Ever. And I put together this amazing, beautiful ebook, which you've just received. Some of you received it back in December. We sent it out to a bunch of people. How to turn my proven 7-step system to turn your resolutions into results. And lots of you got that book, loved it, fabulous. And I was praying about it this past month, and I just asked a friend, I'm like, wait a minute, what's the halfway mark in the year? And being an accountant, she was able to check. She said, July 1st. July 1st is the halfway point. And I thought, you know what? There's one of two ways to look at it. You can look at that as, okay, so this year's half over. You know what? I'm going to pick up on what one of you asked about starting it. You know what? This is not going well. Forget. You know what? I'm going to wait until 2017, and I'm just going to start over because this year did not work out. And just be honest with me. Hop on into the chat. Don't leave me hanging. Let me know. Has that thought been crossing your mind? I'm just going to have to start over in 2017. Let me just coast. But there's another way to look at it, and this is what I really want to encourage you to do. We're just getting started. We've only just begun. We still, as of today, we have more than half a year left. That is plenty of time for you to get back in touch, to get reinvigorated, refueled, refocused on what God told you he wanted to do in your life in 2016, and finish strong. It is very possible. So let's be encouraged and not discouraged. Let's not say the year's half over. Let's say we still have half a year left. Amen? There is still, 2016 is at halftime. We're going to have somebody come out and do a dance routine here. Not me. But there's still plenty of time to make 2016 your best year ever. Do you know I wake up every day and I look in the mirror and I say, Donna, 2016 is going to be your best year ever. I put this up on my Facebook page. How often do you review those goals and those resolutions? And it was like, it was crickets. Sometimes I'll put up a post and I'll get hundreds of people. I put up that question. One person responded. So I, being from New Jersey, immediately responded, you know, if you liked your answer, you would have responded to this post. But you're not liking your answer, so you're not responding. So I will ask you. You can type into, let's make this interactive. How often do you review those resolutions? Because I put mine before me every day. Every day. Do you guys remember this? This was like the most popular infographic ever put on my Facebook page. I hereby declare that this is my year, best year ever. Yay! Remember that? Vaguely familiar. How are we doing? But by the way, make sure you downloaded the ebook. I've sent that out to you. And if you didn't get it, I'll send another email and you can have another chance. It's beautiful. It's so filled with great information. Just share some general information. The same person makes the same resolutions 10 years in a row. Why? Because they get to about the halfway point. And what do they say? I guess I'll have to wait until next year. Next year, I'll start a business. Next year, I'll write that book. Next year, I'll write that blog. That's why. And that's why you're here, because you're not going to be in that percentage. You're not going to be another statistic. 20% of people throw in the towel on their resolutions after 1 week. 1 week. And we still love you. I mean, be honest. Have you thrown in the towel, and how long did it take? Should I try again? Should I dust off those resolutions? You already know what I think. And I brought you here today, teaching live and sharing with you my proven 7-step system for turning your resolutions into results. And this really is the exact system that I use. And people always say, Donna, why do you give away all this stuff for free? People charge a lot of money for this type of training. Why do you make it available free? Because I believe in sowing good seed. And I believe that God's people are good soil. And so I want to share with you what's worked for me. I do have to give a disclaimer. I'm not Superwoman. I could give you a list of my faults a mile long. You could ask anybody who knows me. They could tell you all about it. But I'll tell you, there's one thing I'm really good at. One thing. I have the get her done anointing. For real. For real. I can get stuff done. And I just want you to stop right now. And I want you to picture yourself. How different will you feel this New Year's Eve when you realize, wow, I did it. I picked myself up. I dusted myself off with God's help, Holy Spirit, refueled, recharged, and finished strong. How do you think you'll feel on New Year's Eve, 2016? And you realize, well, you know, I wrote that book. I get a late start. I waited till July, but hey, I marched double time and I got that book written. I got that blog launched. I stepped out in ministry. I taught that women's Bible study. I got that promotion. I went and I asked for it. I worked for it. I made it happen. I healed my relationship with one of my adult kids. I lost 50 pounds. I want you to picture yourself right now. Maybe get two pictures. How are you going to feel if you show up this New Year's Eve and you're right back where you were last year, saying, yeah, I'm going to change? How will that feel? Then let's shift to the positive. How's it going to feel if you got it done? I think it's going to feel pretty incredible. The reality is that the entire world awaits that moment when you finally rise up to take your rightful place in God's master plan. There is an assignment and an anointing on your life that is totally unique. No one else can do what God has called you to do in the way that he has called you to do it. You're completely unique. And there's a missing piece here, and it's you. I'm talking to you. If you know there's a call of God on your life to do more, to be more, and to have more. And here at Women's Empowerment University, here's what we say. You've got to get free, get focused, and go far. You've got to get free of old hurts, hang-ups, habits. You've got to get free. Those of you who don't feel like you've gotten a good start to 2016, you've got to get free of it. Just let it go. Get free. Forgive yourself. Just let it go. If there are things you want to celebrate about January to June, give yourself some credit. Pat yourself on the back. What did you do right so far this year? Fantastic. Take some time to do that. Do that today. Do it right now. Just jot down. What are some things that you've really done great so far? What are some things that you're on track with? Okay. That's fantastic. And what are some things that maybe you've let yourself down a little bit? And you're tempted to say, wow, what am I doing over here? Let it go. Just bring it to the Father and say, okay, Daddy, here's what it is. And then get focused on your top priorities so that you can go far and really finish this year strong. A lot of you, I'm sure most of you know me by now, so I'm not going to do a big, biography, but I'm the author of 30 books that have sold probably now about 1.2 million copies worldwide, have been translated into all kinds of languages. How wonderful. I've been on hundreds of radio and TV shows. That's me, the Focus on the Family radio show, Christian and secular markets. That's fantastic. I've had ministry all over the world. I've traveled in ministry on 6 continents. This is Turkey, Papua New Guinea, Cairo. That's the desert in Egypt. This is Mozambique, I think. The CIA. Oh, that's great. Colombia. Fabulous. It's all wonderful. It's not where it began. I'm not going to do my whole testimony today because most of you know it, but I was raised, youngest of 8 kids, a lot of drama, a lot of issues. And I started drinking straight shots of whiskey, and I forgot to record Judy. Good catch. Some of you know me, and some of you don't. So I want to take you back to where it all began. And I apologize to those of you. Someone just texted me and said, Donnie, you forgot to record. So I just now hit recording. So those of you who are hopping on and joining, we've been underway for about 5 minutes. And I'm sharing my testimony that here along this riverbank separating New Jersey and Pennsylvania, I sat down as a drug addict. I began doing straight shots of whiskey when I was about 13 years old. By about 14, I was a drug addict. By 15, I was a cocaine addict. By 16, I was a drug dealer to support my habit. By 18, I was involved with, the mob, a guy in the mob in New Jersey. I mean, it's just a mess. And a friend reached out to me when I was 19, invited me to a free vacation, which I always joke, boy, were they in for a big surprise when we pulled into the Lutheran Brethren Retreat Center with me in a string bikini and drugs to sell in my luggage, But God met me there, and I sat down at that riverbank completely powerless against the addictions that ruled my life. And the power of God came over me, and I got up just on fire for God. He set me free immediately from drugs and alcohol. I've never been tempted again, and that was 36 years ago. And the very next night, I was all alone out under the moonlit sky, and God spoke to me. He said, Donna, I'm going to take you all over the world, and I'm going to use you in a mighty way for my kingdom. It was so clear. It was like he was standing next to me. And I want to tell you that for the next 20, I made some decisions out of my brokenness. I was on fire for God, read the Bible, everything great, went off to college, teaching evangelistic Bible studies, loved God. But the brokenness from my past showed up, and I made some really bad decisions. And I ended up dropping out of an Ivy League university and really shipwrecking my life after I became a Christian. after he set me free from all that stuff. I know people don't like that part of my testimony, but it's true. And for 20 years, I was left thinking, you know, God spoke to me, and he said he was going to take me all over the world, and he was going to do amazing things in my life. But now I've made all of these bad choices after I became a Christian. Made all these bad choices. And now how can it ever come true again now? But I held on to it because I had that word from God. And there was no way in the natural that anyone would look at my life and think that it was still possible for God to turn it around. But he did. And I remember, I had dropped out of the Ivy League University. I was living in West Philly in this apartment with no heat, no hot water. I could see my breath in the winter. And I was sitting on a subway in Philadelphia going to my job as a part-time temporary receptionist. And I was reading a book that I had got for $1 on goal setting. And sitting there in my hand-me-down clothes, I wrote out 3 goals, and they all seemed impossible. I wanted to go back to school and graduate from college by the age of 27. I wanted to write a book by the age of 30, and I wanted to go into full-time ministry by age 35. And I'm telling you, if anyone looked over my shoulder on that train, they would have laughed out loud. If they looked at my life, there is no way any of those things are going to happen for you. Impossible. Now, I just want you to know that whatever you dream of doing, having, and being, these 7, the power of God, first of all, the call of God upon your life, that's the main thing. But these 7 steps in the practical can really get you there. And I'll tell you, holding on to a sure word from God, that's number one. Whatever God has told you at your moment with him, you've got to hold on to it. And not let it go, and not let your circumstances or other people's opinions sway you. If God said it, he meant it, he can do it. But let me, you know, maybe we could do some spiritual stuff, but I really want to get practical, okay? So step one is to clarify your vision. This would be the best year of my life if I came to the end, looked back, and realized that at the halfway mark, I had picked myself up, dusted my off, and done what? One thing. That if you made that one change, got that one thing done, you can say, you know what, this was the greatest year of my life. That's where it needs to begin. And then step two is to have a plan. And it needs to be based on your predetermined priorities. And I actually read something the other day that said priority, until a few decades ago, was never plural. Did you catch that? The word was priority. And it's only recently become the idea that it could be more than one thing, pluralized to priorities. You know, the Bible, you're like, hey, the screen went blank, I know. Because the Bible says without a vision, the people perish. You know, I want to tell you a story because I really just think this is so true. Probably about at least 30 years ago, I was invited to the most amazing house I've ever been to. It probably now is worth about $10, $12 million. It was absolutely spectacular, and it was filled with hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I mean, they had a Persian carpet alone that at that time, 30 years ago, they'd paid $200,000 for. And antiques from China and the Orient. I mean, it was just crazy. I've never seen such wealth and opulence. But then the couple would fight about someone, truly, I'm not making this up, leaving a light bulb on in the hallway. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had to go to the bathroom. And it was pitch black in that house. And, you know, I'd already heard them screaming at each other over turning on the lights. I was afraid to turn on the light. And I figured that the bathroom was maybe, you know, remember that scene in Father of the Bride, the seventh door? on the left. But I also remember there was this huge marble staircase that I could fall down. So can you picture this? I'm like, my chest is thumping, and my heart's thumping in my chest, and I'm crawling along the door because I don't want to fall down the marble staircase, but I'm afraid to turn on the light, and I've got to go. I've got to get to the bathroom. Well, you guys know I made it, right? But it was really slow, and it was really scary because I couldn't see anything. And one day, my daughter, Taryn A., who is a dancer, came to me. She was very excited. She found one of these things on the internet, said 10 things that people don't know about dancers. And she's like, Mom, these are really, really true. And she read the countdown to me. And number one was, when we go to the bathroom during practice, we leap down the hall the whole way. And she's like, Mommy, it's really true. I hope that you're getting this and that it's at least slightly amusing, huh? We both had the same destination. We both had to go somewhere. We were on a mission for sure. But because I couldn't see anything, I was crawling along, petrified, unsure. But because the lights were on for her, she was leaping, dancing, having a grand old time. And that's the power of vision. When you know where you're going, when it's clear, Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light. So I think we need to just ask Jesus to show up and walk in the door of our lives and be the light and make it clear to us where he's calling us to go so that we can move forward with speed. And maybe so far in 2016, you've just been crawling along. You're like me with the lights off, and you're like, unsure, I don't know what to do. Jesus, would you turn on the light, right? Just walk in. Just be here, because you are the light. And when I say turn on the light, it's like, he is it. How much more progress will you make when you have a clear vision and the light is there, and you can see, and you're confident? I'm actually preaching to myself right now. I'm sure my friends are all laughing. Because honestly, in some ways, I feel like I've done a little bit of inching so far this year. I mean, some great things have happened. Some wonderful things. But maybe there are some other areas where I'm like, Jesus, come a little closer. Bring that light over here so I can really see and be living in the light. I hope that just helps somebody right there. The Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets. Why? So he may run who reads it. See, once you've got the vision, once you've got the plan, and you know what God wants you to do and why he wants you to do it, that's when you can suddenly run. That's when you can suddenly leap. So it's so important to get that clarity. And here's the big thing, and we've been dealing with this in one of my classes, the 90-day renewal. I've just been hammering this. You need to pick the one thing, not the 10 things, not the 20. So what do? We make 20 New Year's resolutions, and it makes our brain, just looking at it, makes us tired, so we put it away. One thing that so inspires you, that so excites you, you will get out of bed an hour earlier in the morning, every morning. That's the test. You will leap out of bed because the vision is so clear and you've got a plan to get there and you've got to get up and you've got to get going. Do you have something like that right now? And this really is the test. If it can't get you out of bed in the morning an hour earlier than everybody else in the house, then it's not a big enough vision because you should be leaping to the destination. Step three is to create a measuring system to track your progress. It's critical because you're not going to get there overnight, but you will get there over time. And I personally just love creating little measuring systems and check boxes, and you can do it on a computer. I'm kind of an old school paper person. I love to get like a big poster board and put it up on the wall. I love my whiteboard. I'm going through withdrawal. Those of you guys know I'm living in Cali, Colombia right now. And I didn't bring my whiteboard. So I'm kind of going through withdrawal, and I'm using paper. Some people like computer programs. That's great. But whatever, here's the point. Incremental changes lead to dramatic transformation over time. And if you wait, let's say your goal is to write a book, and your only thing you've got is, okay, I'm going to write a book. It's just too overwhelming. You won't even start. But if you make out a chart and say, okay, I'm going to do 12 chapters, so I just need to do a chapter a day, and you put up a big chart on the wall, and it's like, hey, or even better would be, you want to write a 200-page book? You've got to write a page a day, and so put up a big chart on the wall that you can see, and put 200 blocks, and every day wake up and make it a goal. I'm going to fill in one of those blocks today. That's it. Have a measuring system. I don't know if this sounds silly or obvious, but I'll tell you, it's what I do, and it works. How do you think I've written 30 books and traveled and ministry on 6 continents? This is how. I pick a goal, stay focused on the goal. Step 4 is to establish accountability. Successful people proactively pursue relationships that empower and propel them forward. Now, here's the test. Are you ready? Write down the name of 2 people who routinely tell you things you don't want to hear. I'm waiting. 2 people. I'm not talking about someone who insults you. I'm talking about people who tell you, look, this is what you need to work on. This, you said you were going to do this. How's that coming along? People who challenge you and spur you on. I'm talking about in a positive way. Iron sharpening iron. That kind of thing. See, accountability doesn't work. It will not work if you refuse to give someone permission to ask you hard questions. Hey, you said you were going to write a book this year. How's that going? Well, I haven't had any time. Really? Because it's June. Do you see what I'm saying? Or if you run away anytime someone speaks a painful truth into your life, then accountability is not going to work for you. And one of the things God has been speaking in my life and through my ministry for a long time is that sometimes you got to just get rid of the silly stuff, the nonsense, the excuses, the time wasters. I mean, I love you, and we're all just being real, but a lot of us, we love God, and we just do the silliest stuff. TV shows, reality TV, goofing off on the internet. We got to set some of that aside to make room for God to work in our life. And if you have some silly addiction or some time waster, find someone in your life and say, look, I want to be accountable. Let's check in once a day. This is the area of my life I need to correct. Do you have an area in your life? And let's just hold each other accountable and spur one another on. We do a lot of that at Women's Empowerment University. We have a new thing we're playing. I'm going to announce a new contest at WEU for those in the spring renewal. We're going to have the SAP Award. The She Ain't Playing. I just started doing that lately. Like, hey, she ain't playing. She's in it to win it. She's for real. So maybe you can be the winner of the WEU International SAP Award. I just talked myself into it. I'm going to have an award for the entire year for 2016, and there's going to be some prize with it. I don't know what it'll be. But I'm going to pick one woman that 2016, she really just decided, you know, I'm not playing. God has called me. I haven't got time to play around. Whether it's gossiping on the phone, you know, whatever your little time waster is. Step 5 is to monitor your milestones. When I trained for a marathon, I knew I wasn't going to be able to run a marathon, 26.2 miles, on day 1, right? But I also knew that I had better be able to run at least 20 miles 1 week before the scheduled event. So I worked with a coach. I think that's important. And we identified the major milestones along the way. This actually is me training for a triathlon. That's three races back to back. When I did the marathon, though, first I did a 5K, then I did a 10K, then I did a half marathon, then I did a 16-mile run, then I did an 18-mile run, and then finally a week before I did the 20-mile run. And we knew that as long as I hit those milestones on time, I had a very strong chance of achieving my ultimate goal. And I did the same thing when I did the triathlon, which is the ocean swim, the bike, and then the run back to back. And I think this is a piece that a lot of people miss. They say, okay, this year I'm going to write a book, but where do you need to be by June? I'd break that into quarters. Where do I need to be by the end of March? Where do I need to be by the end of June? Where do I need to be by the end of September? So that, and then by the end of the year, I'll have that project done. So you've got a sense of what you're working towards, because with a race, if I just say, okay, I've got to run 26 miles, I can't do that. You have a nervous breakdown. And you just don't even start because it's too overwhelming. But when the coach said, okay, well, let's not even think. Just start with a 5K. Start with that. And then when you've got that done, then we'll talk about the 10K. Okay, and then you've got that done. We'll do a half marathon. Okay, great. And so on and so on and so on. And one of the things that I see a lot with women is that we really get focused on what we can't do, which is nothing but a distraction from what we can do. See, I could have sat there and said, well, I can't run 26.2 miles. You people are crazy. But could I do a 5K? I mean, day one, I couldn't run around the block. But I thought, I think I could do a 5K. That I can do. So rather than focusing on what I couldn't do, I focused completely 100% on what I could do. This is the number one thing that I see take women down. I call it the all or nothing mentality. Either I can run 26.2 miles or I can't do anything and I'm giving up and that's it. I'm going to go watch television or call one of my friends and chit chat. Do you hear what I'm saying? Think about this in your own life. No, focus completely on what you can do and what is within your control. Realistically, I want to write 50 books. Okay, well, let's start with a chapter. Amen. I hope this is really helping somebody. I love this word, monitor. Monitor, I think you're going to love this. Monitor is a verb that means to listen, to transmit signals on a receiving set in order to check the quality of the transmission or to keep tuned in. Monitor. We need to monitor our milestones towards our major goals, monitor the milestones toward that vision, the call of God on our life, and we need to monitor every area of our life. We need to be listening in our relationships. Are we listening? In our ministry, in our business, are we monitoring? Are we getting the feedback? Are we staying tuned in? We need to monitor our walk with God and check in on a routine basis. And that's what monitor your milestones, the step five, is all about. It is so critical. Tuning into God and tuning into what's happening in your own life. So many of us live in a haze of noise and chaos and so many different demands. We need to take time at least once a week, and daily would be better. I actually do a lot of this every day. I asked you guys, I forgot to record that part, but in the beginning, how often do you review your goals for the year? I do it every day, every morning. The first thing I do is write out my mission statement, my vision for 2016, and review what I want to do this month. I review my vision, my why, and then I look at what I want to do for the year, then what I need to do for the month, what I need to do for the week, and then what I need to do that day. I do that every day. Every day. I'm keeping in mind, what do I want to do in my lifetime? What do I want to do this year? What do I want to do this month? What do I have to do this week? What do I need to do today? Every day. Some of you wonder, Donna, how do you get so much done? You must have a huge paid staff. Now, we need to monitor, listen for the transmitted signals that tell us whether or not we are heading in the right direction. And then you can course correct along the way. Step six, celebrate your achievements. We do this thing, a lot of you are enrolled in Women's Empowerment University, but for those of you who aren't, a lot of times we'll just randomly put up an infographic in one of our classrooms and it says, what did you do right today? And celebrate your achievements. The greatest management principle in the world is this: behavior that gets rewarded gets repeated. It's also the greatest self-management principle. And unfortunately, many of us reward all the wrong behaviors and often with all the wrong rewards. But we are commanded 88 times to celebrate. Deuteronomy 12:18 says, you are to celebrate in the presence of God, your God, all the things you've been able to accomplish. Come on now, somebody say amen. Somebody jump up and down and shout and do a hallelujah. How many of you have never noticed this verse before? You are to celebrate in the presence of God, your God, all the things you have been able to accomplish. See, a lot of us go into God's presence, and rather than celebrating all that we have done, and I'm the same. I think left to our own devices, that's why we need a command. We don't need any command to beat ourselves up and feel bad. We kind of do that on our own, and the devil helps us out, right? But God commands us here. Celebrate. What have you gotten done? And come to the end of each day, each week, whatever, or at the end of each milestone, and maybe plan ahead. What's a reward that you're going to give yourself when you get that milestone accomplished? You would be amazed how powerful this is. It motivates every human being. You just don't realize it. Believe me, let me tell you something. Any behavior that you are repeating is being rewarded somehow. Just an example, if every time you fight with your husband, you go have your favorite bowl of ice cream, your brain thinks, wow, okay, so if I want ice cream, Breyers mint chocolate chip, all I have to do is have a fight with my husband and I get my favorite ice cream, oh man, I'm definitely going to do that more often. It's conscious, it's subconscious. The key is to make this principle work in your favor, because in some areas of your life, it's working against you. The key is to reward yourself the right way. And kind of maybe take a minute to think about this. Is there an unwanted behavior that keeps repeating in your life? I promise you that in some way, you're rewarding it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be repeating. But we want to make that proactive. Make a list. What are some behaviors you want to see in your life? And then what are some positive, healthy, God-honoring rewards? And say, you know, if I go 10 days of, you know, taking my daily walk, or if I go 10 days working out at the gym, or if I go 10 days write every day a chapter for my new book, or probably not a chapter, 100, 1,000 words, whatever it is, then I'm going to give myself a reward. I'm going to go have a manicure and a pedicure. See, right now you probably go and have a manicure and a pedicure. You have a bad week, you don't get anything done, you're like, that's it, I'm going to go get a manicure and a pedicure, this week's shot. So what does your brain think? Okay, so if I want a manicure and a pedicure and a facial and a new outfit and I want to go shopping and out with my girlfriends, all I have to do is have a bad week. This is deep stuff, but I hope somebody's getting it. As you begin to proactively reward the right behavior, you're going to see your productivity and your joy and satisfaction and kingdom impact go through the roof. Reward the behavior you want to see and stop rewarding the behavior that you don't want to see. It's really just that simple. And then step seven, this is the pinnacle. This is what it's all about. This is what gets me excited. Impart your gifts to impact the world. You've got something to say, something to create. God's put you here and called you into his family for a purpose. And he wants you to impart those gifts. He didn't put you those gifts and dreams and talents inside of you to be hid under a bushel He wants you to let your little light shine. And this is where it gets exciting, because there's no higher level of personal fulfillment on earth than reaching a position in life where you, I mean, you know, not in a prideful way, but in a healthy way. You know that you have something great, of great value to contribute to the world, because God placed it in you, and you are joyfully making that contribution. That's what it's all about. So, do we need more information? Not really. Most of you are already on information overload. What we need is transformation. And that happens in the presence of God and in the power of accountable relationships. And so I want to ask you the question, who spurs you on? I mean, horses were born to run. Why do we need to give them a swift kick and get them moving? But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we get comfortable. It's like the horse, I think I'll just stand here and eat grass and chill and take it easy. No, it was born to run. It needs somebody to come along and remind it. This is a great movie. There's like one bad scene, but it is really a powerful movie about a comeback story about these three men. There's the jockey, the horse trainer, and the horse owner. And the movie shows them facing just so many losses. One lost his career. One lost his child and his family. Another lost his parents. He was kind of orphaned. They walked away from him. And these three men come together around this horse. And there's a scene kind of early on when they first encounter it. And this trainer, his name is Tom Smith, says, you know, this horse is so beat up. It's hard to know what he's really like. He just needs to remember how to be a horse again. And you know what they do? They give him a good swift kick. They don't say, oh, you little horse, you better just stay and eat grass. No, they give a good swift hit to the butt and say, you're supposed to be running. That's what you were born for. Remember? It's one of the most beautiful scenes in any movie, as they show that it's fall in New England, you know, and Seabiscuit takes off and he's running through all these beautiful over bridges and under trees and falling leaves. And it's just so beautiful. But it wouldn't have happened unless somebody came along and saw greatness in him. There's another scene in the movie where Tom Smith looks that horse in the eye and he sees greatness in him. Now, circumstances look like, you know, he was just this crazy loser. But Tom Smith saw something else. And the reality is that there's nothing more inspiring than a comeback story. The horse was beaten and forgotten, said he was a loser. These three men, their lives had fallen apart. The boy, his parents had left him. The other guy, his wife had left him. There's nothing more inspiring than a comeback story. And God wants to write a comeback story in your life, and he wants to write a comeback story for you in 2016. So really, in a sense, if you've gotten a rough start in life and you've had some setbacks, it's that comeback. That's what makes it so incredible. This story, that movie would not be nearly as inspirational if they hadn't faced all those setbacks. And you've heard this before. Sometimes all your setbacks are just a setup for a comeback. And maybe 2016 hasn't gotten off to a very good start. Maybe some areas it has and other areas it's not. What if you come roaring back? What if we just give you a good swift kick right here and remind you who you are and say, look, it's time to run again. You've spent enough time in the barn feeling sorry for yourself and feeling defeated. You got to get out there and you got to try again. You've got to run again. This is your comeback year. This is your comeback moment right here, right now. You need somebody to spur you on. I love this movie. There's another scene where Tom Smith says, you know, you don't throw a whole life away just because he's banged up a little. There's a scene in the movie where this horse, you know, fell on the track, and there's a group of men who gather around it, and they've got a gun, and they're going to kill it because it can't race anymore. And Tom Smith comes along, and he says, you know, I'll take it. You've given up on it, I'll take it. And he takes it aside, takes it to a place, binds up its wounds, heals it, restores it, and shows it a new vision for a whole nother life that it can live. Because you don't throw a whole life away just because it got banged up a little. And you don't throw a whole year away just because it got banged up a little. You don't throw a dream or a project or a ministry or a friendship or a marriage or in anything. You don't have to throw the whole thing away just because it got banged up a little. Maybe it just needs some time in the quiet with a good physician who can heal and restore and give it a fresh vision of what's possible. And I really feel that for a lot of us, you know, this is a word. God says, look, maybe some of these goals, resolutions, dreams, plans, maybe they got banged up a little. Okay. I mean, let's just come away. Come away, my beloved. Let's get you strong again and get you back out there in the race, because that's what you were born to do. And I want you to know that believe that 2016 can still be your best year ever. And I would like to give you, as of right now, you can get immediate access to this class that I taught back in January. Absolutely the most powerful, most beloved. I mean, people just went crazy over this class. And I taught it live 21 days in this past January. And I'd like to make that available to you immediately. Make 2016 your best year ever. 21 days of video training. It's webinar, like just like this, webinar style training. And it really just dives deep on this proven 7-step system to turn your resolutions into results. Again, that's 21 days of video training. It comes with a 105-page course workbook. And there'll be 24/7 support in a secret Facebook group. But then, so that's for you to revise. You get that right now so that you can finish strong in 2016. And then in January, we'll go live, probably like the second week of January. And you'll have live weekly sessions with me. And that's when it'll, you know, kind of go to a whole nother gear. You'll get a swift kick now, and then you'll really get a swift kick in January. And you already know, like, wow, okay, 2017, I've already got a plan. I know what I'm going to do. We'll have prophetic and intercessory prayer times where you can really hear from God and have him turn on the lights and get a sure word from God. I just don't think, what's more powerful than that? That's why I love to pray prophetically for people, because you hear God's word, God's vision, God's plan, personal for you. I define prophetic prayer as the ability to accurately hear and boldly proclaim God's highest and best will for someone's life. It's the heart of God for you. And so that's kind of where our focus will be in January, helping you get clearer vision. And again, that 24/7 support in the secrets, that Facebook group will be opening now, probably won't be as active. I mean, that'll be up to you, those who enroll, how active you want to be right now. You'll have all of the course material, and that's the videos, and there's also MP3 versions of it and downloads of the key points I make in each of the sessions. But then it'll really go to a higher level in January. So the resources now, the live sessions in January, and you have lifetime access to the course material once you enroll. And you can enroll in that now. And then I'm going to pray for you and maybe take some questions and comments and hear from you. But you can enroll in that now. It is bestyear.co. It's not .com. It's bestyear.co. And you can register right away, get immediate access to the course materials. And then already know, January live, I'm going to be there with Donna. It's going to be awesome. And that is just, I can tell you right now, there's another Christian program like this. It has 5 pre-recorded videos for $297 and no live access to the teacher. Just 5 pre-recorded trainings for $300. This program in January was priced at $97, but right now you'll have it for $47. And basically, in a sense, you'll get 2 classes, right? You'll get now the kind of immediate access, and then the live component with me. I mean, you'll have live interaction with your fellow students now, but then in January, you'll have the weekly sessions with me. And there'll be four of those hour-long, probably two-hour-long sessions with me. And I would love for you to be part of that. Bestyear.co, bestyear.co for just $47. And those of you who were in the class in January, and if you know the coupon code and you haven't used it, you know you can save $10. And yes, you can use it for this. If for some reason that URL doesn't work, because sometimes computers just do whatever they want to do, you can also go to donnapartow.com/best. And let me go ahead and pray for you and take some questions. So, Lord, I do thank you so much for this opportunity to share the system that you gave me. And of course, we can't do anything apart from the Holy Spirit, apart from your power, apart from your call. We're not going to get very far at all if we're not monitoring our relationship with you and staying in close contact with you. That's really where it all begins, that vision of what you have put us on earth to do. That's step one. But then these other six steps, I thank you that you've really given me an ability and anointing to make this super practical and effective for people. And Lord, I know that you've appointed and anointed a group of people who are going to dive in right now, and probably a whole army are going to be joining us in January. And I thank you for it. I thank you that we still have half of the year ahead of us, and that you are looking at us in the eye right now and saying, look, I'll take her. If everybody else thinks she's not ready to get back in the race, just let me step in here. Because a little bit of time alone with me, because I'm the balm of Gilead, she'll be back in that race. And I have great things in store. So I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you see greatness in each and every person listening to the sound of my voice right now. And that is why you've brought them here.